Turn with me to the 18th Psalm. The 18th Psalm is extra long, and I certainly do not intend, well, it's not that long, I guess, don't want to look at all of it. Intended to look at just the first verse, but it's hard not to continue on a little bit. The prologue says most of it. Psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The pangs of death surrounded me, and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. And he goes on. I would like to look at this as a testimony. Certainly it is that, but it's a testimony of who God is in the first place and our response to it in the second. We see it from a human point of view, David responding in God's kind dealings with him. And that's certainly the case. When we see the nature of David's response, we are taken back and we see how it is that David is able to respond in that way. And it is because of who God is that we see that David is now responding this way, certainly following God's deliverance. But think about all the time prior to that. All of the dark days prior to that. And what did that look like? Well, it looked like God's power, God's almighty power in essentially deliverance after deliverance. And David is expressing that throughout this psalm. And so it says, in the day that the Lord delivered him, but it's an expression throughout this psalm of God's almighty power. And when I say almighty, I mean that in a completely literal fashion. We have in verses 7 to 15, which I didn't read and I don't propose to, but you can at least kind of look into it, we have something like pyrotechnics expressed here that are physical manifestations which are intended to point to the almighty power of God. Verse 7, the earth shakes. Verse 9, God bows the heavens, bends the heavens literally, and comes down. Verse 13, he thunders from heaven. Verse 15, the foundations of the world are uncovered. So all of these powerful expressions of who God is. Now, it's not expected. I don't think that we'll see that God is kind of like ripping up the earth in a mighty manifestation of his power just because, because David is in trouble. No, it is an expression of the almighty power of God that is there, has been there all the time that David was in trouble, and that was demonstrated in David's salvation here and here and here and here. And now that he is out of trouble, he looks back through it. So the way that we ought to read the psalm is to say there is nothing greater. In fact, he himself is the foundation of all that is, and he is for me. He is a foundational of everything that exists, and he is for me. Look at the summary of it in verse 2. He is rock, fortress, deliverer, strength. And even those things are pictures. God is certainly larger than a rock or a fortress. He is fundamental to all that is, but he is as a rock to us. He is a fortress that we enter into and are safe. He is our deliverer. He is strength itself for us. Now notice all of those things. These are attributed to Jehovah God. But notice that the Lord Jesus is each of those things for us as well. He has come down to save us. So this most foundational of and most powerful of expressions that we have here from David, we can say with Paul in Romans 8, who can separate us from the love of God? From the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This almighty power, nothing can do that. He says life and death, tribulation. You notice there is nothing. Even David doesn't say, well, if I had died, I would have still been fine. But Paul goes that far. You can't get more fundamental than that. We are fully cared for in the Lord Jesus. So what is deepest is being expressed here in Psalm 18. God himself, in his almighty power, is our refuge. And that fact then calls forth a response. And the response is here basically twofold. First of all, it is love, and he describes that in verse 1. He says, I will love you, O Lord. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. So there is that which endears us to the Lord. It's not just that he's powerful, but that he has drawn us with his almighty care. And the way he puts it is, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. How fundamental then is God's strength? It is my strength. When it seems like we cannot endure. And certainly we see David as a type of Christ having been stretched beyond endurance. The almighty power of God is that which upholds us. He says, you are my strength. He has exerted, and he is exerting on my behalf. And therefore, there is this response of love. And secondly, and it is embedded in verse 2, is trust. and I pick this out of here because it is the keynote of believers in difficulty all the way through the scriptures. Verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. It's not enough to have the Almighty God out there. Even an Almighty God out there that I adore. I must trust Him. If He is the most powerful since He has created of all, then His power is being exerted for me. The right thing to do is to lean on Him. That's trust. We call it faith. Trust is an excellent term for it. We don't make God act by trust, but certainly trust is at the forefront of everything. Every believer in difficulty says, I am yours, care for me. This doesn't, not the other way around. It's not care for me, it's I am yours, care for me. It's that trust factor. It's not trust, if I can say this correctly, it's not trust because of experience even. David is not saying that, even though he's saying this after having been delivered completely and delivered so many times. That's not the nature of this trust. The nature of this trust is because of who God is and is for me. It is before everything else, and everything flows from that. Certainly we trust Him from our experience and His kind dealings for us. But God's fundamental power and goodness is such that we trust Him for who He is. It's like one of those in dire straits that came up to the Lord Jesus. If you will, you can make me whole. It's that kind of trust. See that who He is, not only power but goodness. So then, even in great difficulty, even in the dark, there's trust. And then lastly, of course, there's prayer. Not prayer that extorts or makes things happen, but it is prayer that comes out of that which we've already expressed. Verse 3 here. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. That is central to that relationship. The one who recognizes God for who He is and has this trust and this love, where else would you go? It's like the disciples at the end of John 6. Where else can we go? You have the words of eternal life. It's natural. It's difficult still, of course, because of the flesh. But it is natural So as he says in verse 6, he says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord. Not in my distress, I made sure that the perimeter was secure. That I knew where my next meal was coming from. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. He heard my voice from his temple. And then all that follows is the kind of the expression of his power. So the believer trusts God's omnipotent might, which is for me. That's a necessary parity, and that's what we've been seeing here this evening. Omnipotent might and trust go together. We don't have trust in some pagan deity, but the Almighty God. We trust this omnipotent one who is also good and who looks toward me in mercy on a continuing basis. And so I continue to come. And that's where David was. It's not presumption. It's this is who God is. And the believer says, well, I'm poor. And the Lord Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary. And so the believer says, well, I've been brought to this place. I'll be here. I'll be here. I will call on him as long as I am. So God is glorified then in this trust. God is glorified in this trust. We come to him, this rod and this rod. Let's close this segment. Father, thank you for David's words, looking out at your mighty dealings with him, your kind but powerful dealings with him. We thank you, Father, that we have similar things to say, that you have kind but mighty dealings with us. We bless you that your dealings in the gospel are omnipotent, that you save dreadful sinners, that you lift us out of the miry clay that takes omnipotent power. We do bless you for your son this night and ask that you help us as we go to prayer this evening. Enable us where we find ourselves, each of us, this evening. In Christ's name, amen.